Hey, everybody. Welcome to Train Shuffling. It's your podcast about trains.
And shuffling them.
And how to effectively shuffle all of the trains that you have.
I'm Johnny.
I'm Eric. It turns out.
This is a bonus episode. Yeah. We're at a train convention, sort of.
Whoa. I am not. I hope everyone could hear that down the hall. We're in a hotel, and somebody just had... Somebody's getting murdered out in the hallway. I'm fairly sure. Somebody just screamed quite loudly. Yeah, so we're at TotalCon. We're in Marlboro, Mass. The easiest place to say. And we just finished up a couple of train games. Jenny was here for a lot longer than me because I have a daughter who likes to throw up. So she was busy doing that and keeping me there. But Johnny got to show up a little early and... play some games.
Basically make tokens for a couple hours.
Yeah, and then he stickered some sweet 18SY tokens for me, because he's the man.
Yeah, I showed up at a bad time to get in on a game, so.
Yeah. Turns out train games are long.
But I met Dave Mitten. He saw me pulling the... So I was punching all the stickers, and I was trying to use my fingernails, which are non-existent because I just clipped them today.
Ooh,
and
bad rookie mistake.
Yeah, I was trying to separate that, and he saw me doing it, and he gave me an X-Acto knife, and it made it a lot easier.
So you made friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I showed up here at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and Johnny was in his last hour of 1824 with a... group of, what was it, four other players?
Four people.
Yeah. So I was kind of poking around, and then Eric Brosius walked in the room, and I was like, hey, do you want to show me your famously fast 1846? You know, do a whatever. I figured, they said they had an hour left. Johnny and I were going to do a game after they were finished. So I was like, let's do the first, I don't know, three sets of ORs of 1846, and then... We played that game in 1 hour and 29 minutes, and we finished basically when Johnny was packing up 1824. So that was awesome. It was a three-player game. It's pretty quick.
What did we learn?
I learned that, Toledo is an important token spot. I learned that Holland is like, you basically just don't ever do Holland unless you have the steamboat company, because Holland gets a double steamboat symbol. Yeah. It's like there and down where the B&O is. And I had the Michigan Southern and the Grand Trunk to start the game. And I was like, all right, well, that's the easy combo. I'm just going to use the Grand Trunk to get me over to Chicago faster. And then I realized that it's interesting. This game is, what you par at and how many shares you buy matters a lot. That's like one of the biggest decisions, like the drafting, you don't have total control over. You do make decisions there, whether or not to pass or whatever you take. But that first decision of what are you gonna par at, and how many of the shares are you gonna buy, you know, how are you gonna take your starting capital left and most effectively put into your company is a big one. And I started it at, I think, 60 and bought 3 shares. So. I ended up having enough to do some track lays and get 2-2 trains, but then you need a 4 train to go east-west to Chicago. If you, like the normal, the generic route, or, you know, the kind
across
of...
Across the top there.
You head west and then duck south and avoid one of the cities that's right there. And then you hook right into Chicago. And I was doing that. I used the Michigan Southern to get me over there, and I was like a tile lay away from Chicago, and Eric teleports because he has the, I can't remember the name of it, the one that teleports you into Chicago and gives you a token there. The Chicago and Western. I don't know.
You just played it.
I know. Well, but I didn't look at the private name. I just looked at the whatever. I'll look it up later. That private. He pops up with the B&O. And then he goes whoop and hooks up into my track, like in two tile lays. And I looked down later at the board. I was like, wait, when did this happen? He was like, oh, last OR. He said, that's an Eric Brosius special. So that was cool. And the B&O and the Grand Trunk actually were like lockstep in price the entire, like, stock value, the entire game. Every single movement, they were on exactly in the same spot. And we played with another guy, Sean, and Sean was very unhappy with his private selection, and he started the ick, and then he didn't do too hot, and at the end of the game, he basically, it's like the last set of ORs, he was like, all right, I'm done, and he walked away, and we, like, auto, you know, piloted last two payouts. And
Randy was also itching to leave, and he was just right.
Yeah. I mean, it was done for him for a while. But it was a good game. It was an hour and a half long. I love that, you know, that 46 is just so snappy like that. So everybody who it takes a long time to play 46 with, just go find Eric Brosius, and it's no problem. So what about you?
So I played Empire Builder.
Yes.
Not 18XX. It's a crayon rails game. I played that with Eric Brosius and Dave Mitten. It was fun. It's definitely not 18XX.
Right.
I enjoy it, but it's not. I'm not gonna get as into it as 18XX.
Can you give a synopsis of what a crayon rails game is?
So you're literally taking a crayon. This is not metaphorical.
I thought it was. When I heard crayon rails, I figured it was like crayon was the name of a railroad company or something like that. Right. So it's physically
the crayon railroad.
Yeah.
So you're actually using crayons, and you have this big map, and it's basically made up of a bunch of little dots and triangles, and you are drawing a route from there are major cities, and then there's small cities and medium cities, and there's mountain terrain and plain terrain, and they all cost a different amount, and every turn you have a certain amount of money you're allowed to spend. Doesn't matter how far you draw, you have $20 million that you can spend during your track build action, and you can either upgrade your train for $20 million, or you can build up to $20 million of track.
Do you get, like, a free $20 million every turn, or do you have to have it?
You start the game with 40 or 60 million. Okay. And you start off with two build rounds before you actually do any, like, moving of goods or anything.
Yeah.
And then once you have your starting money and you've either started done your starting track or upgraded your train, you either usually build twice for 40 million or you build once and upgrade your train.
Got it.
And then the only money you get after that is by fulfilling these contracts. So you draw cards, and they have three different choices of goods that you can deliver to different places, and then every place on the map has a certain type of good that it produces. So you have to go to a place, put the goods onto your train, and then go deliver it to wherever the contracts say, and that's how you get your money. So you have to plan very carefully, because you can't necessarily get, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast without delivering multiple contracts to get enough money to build track all the way across.
Right. So your current, like, I'm going to deliver this to then fund the future track to get the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
And yeah, it was definitely interesting, and I'm excited to play Iron Dragon just because it's...
Which is another Crayon Rails game.
Right? And it's the Crayon Rails game with the most chrome. And
okay.
I like that stuff. Yeah, I tend to like 18XXs with a lot of chrome and fun stuff that.
It's a steampunk version too, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, but the trains are literally... It's really weird. The trains are pulled by dragons.
Okay. Sure, that's what I would expect. I thought they were like Zeppelins or something like that, but...
No, they're trains. And there's like... literally, there's dragons in the... What do you call the front?
The locomotive?
Yes. They're in the locomotive, and they're flying and...
Sure.
Pulling the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay. How do the rails work? Okay, they're
it's on normal.
The actual train cargo is on the rails, but then there's like a flying dragon engine.
No, the dragon is in the locomotive, which is sitting on the track, and it's flying and pulling the train.
Okay, I see now. But you said that like it was like, why is it so hard to understand, Eric? Because a dragon in the train.
Yeah, what do you get about this?
It's perfectly.
It's your standard dragon in a train.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that looks cool. Crayon rails. All right. It's an 18XX adjacent kind of thing. People Yeah, I'm sure there's people listening who you know play up into these, and I guess it's a fairly big chunk of the crowd here at TotalCon, yeah. Right? So for people who haven't been to this con, it's in Massachusetts. There's like a room. I kind of thought that the room would be a little bit bigger, but then I kind of thought about it and said, it's 18XX. This makes sense. And it was Thursday, and I got it late in the day. Mm-hmm. What was like the peak? How many tables running at once? Do you know?
I think there were like about 8 tables, but they were, I mean, it wasn't like the room wasn't packed and right. buzzing the whole time. It was sometimes there were people that had just finished a game and left while another game started up. So right. it was very staggered.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 8 to 8 or 10 tables in there,
yeah.
In that back room. And, like I said, it's Thursday, and I think that Saturday is the busiest day. Yeah.
The interesting thing was that there's like the group of people that came here to play Crayon Rails and 18XX that are in there. But I think there were also people that were walking in that were here that are just here for the convention that aren't here for anything specific yeah. that were walking in and asking to learn certain games. And there was like a group of kids that sat down and Randy taught them Chicago Express in between taking his turns in 18 New England and cool. stuff like that. Yeah, so there was other people that aren't familiar with these games that were coming in asking, right. like, hey, can you teach us this one?
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. And so then you got to play some real deal train games. The real deal.
Yeah. There's another game, 1824. That game is so good.
Yeah. Did you have a good time playing it?
I had a really good time playing it. I ruffled Randy's feathers a little bit. he was a little justified in it. I was very close to another player. He had a huge cash lead on me, but and he had one company with a better train, but my companies had been running sixes for longer.
Not Randy.
This was another. This was Ethan.
Yeah.
And Ethan was going to get a token into Budapest because I didn't have the money to do it, even though I was going to be able to do it first.
Oh.
So I started laying my company that did have money. So I had the UGG and the SB, the green regional.
Yep. Which we didn't play with in
the three-player. Yeah. So those are my two companies, and the SB was the one I needed to get into Budapest. The UGG starts in Budapest. So I started placing my UGG tokens, which cost 100 each, but I already had a permanent train, so I just started spending my money to token to try to...
You're just trying to lock him out.
I was trying to... He was going to get east. Basically, he was going to be able to go east from Budapest, and I was basically trying to cut off every city west of him because I had a bunch of tokens in the UGG that I didn't need.
Yeah.
And it turns out I kind of misread the map, and it didn't really hurt him. It just caused him a little bit of trouble getting around it. But it really hurt Randy's route. And Randy didn't want to say anything to me because he has had too many games where he said, I'm in last place. Why are you going to place a token? It's only going to hurt me. And then he comes back and wins the game.
Right.
And he feels like an asshole when he does that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he didn't want to say anything and then end up winning the game.
Right.
So he let me do it, and it kind of annoyed him. But then afterwards, Ethan and I were very close. I won by about $300.
And then Randy was not in the running for that?
He was like 1,000 behind.
Yeah.
And he was in last place by about a few hundred to 1,000 behind third place.
Yeah.
And... He was like, no, I mean, obviously what you did made sense because you and Ethan were the close ones to each other. So he's like, you didn't put the token in the right spot, but the idea was correct.
Yeah.
But he thought I was actually trying to hurt him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were just trying to lock him out.
And it just happened that he was just an innocent bystander.
So how was the full map versus the three-player?
It felt totally different. Like, having all that extra space, like, made it feel like a different game.
I actually haven't even, like, seen the map with the full...
Yeah, it was... I mean, granted, we've only played it once.
Yeah.
But when I looked at it, I couldn't visualize necessarily where I wanted routes to go, even though I'd seen the map play out before, because there was so much of the map that was now there.
Right.
That wasn't there before.
That's something that happens to me a lot in these maps, where it's, like, a square map, and... There's just kind of random cities, and there's off boards in all directions. Like 1861, where we're playing. Mm-hmm. I'm still playing online.
How long is that? 6 months?
We actually kind of picked up the pace, and I think
that game's literally been going on since October. And it's almost March.
Yeah, it's a long-ass game.
Yeah. It's half a year.
Yeah, we're all in Browns, though. There's lots of Browns happening. Yeah. So I think it's going to end soonish, but... because you get to, like, the 8 trains in that game, and I think you run a set of R's or whatever. But anyway, the point is that the map is, like, this weird, like, everything has access to the good, like, Moscow in that game, right? And in... like in 46, you know, I know you're trying to go east-west. You're trying to get in Chicago. And there's this, like, thing with a bullseye on it that says, go here.
Right. You have some guidance on what you want to do.
Right. But with these weird maps, these square maps where, like, there's something good in the middle and everybody can get in from every side, it's a very different thing. It's hard for me to visualize sometimes. Like, what?
So 24 is maybe somewhere in the middle, though, because they do have the pre-states that have prelaid track that goes in a specific direction.
Yeah.
And then the coal mines are kind of, they're not necessarily lined up, but you can tell, like, Randy's mistake was it, he wanted to make sure he got a coal mine. So he started his coal mine in as his first draft.
Mm.
And he started the CL, which, if you remember, that was in the three-player game. It was the one in the corner.
Which corner?
It was in the eastern corner. And then
on the other side of the board?
Yeah, the other side from the blue and the yellow one.
Yeah.
That started all the way in the...
in the western side.
Backwards. No, I think I have it right. Yeah. So, yeah. I was playing with the map upside down, so I'm trying...
Oh, I see.
yeah, so the western side has the yellow and the blue. The CL is the black.
Yep, that sounds right.
So Randy started the one that turns into the CL, and he started that first, and then when it was the reverse, so he was second player, I was third. When it came back to me, so I started the green one, which is in the southeast, and then I started the number one purple pre-state, and that's really the one that you want to start if you start the CL, because it goes straight towards it.
Yeah.
And if you can't start that one, you want to start the number two gold, the number two KK.
Yep.
And he didn't have the opportunity to start either of those because he started his coal mine first. So we realized later that if you're early in the draft and you're not sure what your second thing is going to be, you may want to actually start your pre-state first.
And then you can either get a coal mine to go with it, or you get another pre-state that works with it.
It would kind of suck not to get a coal mine, but at the same time, it's worse to end up... He ended up spending a lot of the game trying to build on his own to get the CL out of that corner and connect it to the rest of the track, and he had no help from any other company.
Right.
And it took him a long time, and I think that was what really put him in a bad place.
Yeah. I wonder about that sometimes with, you know, people often talk about, like, do you want to make sure that this person doesn't get that, this combination of privates and whatever. And if you're in the position to take that away from somebody, but you don't have a private, like, okay, I'm going to start. And the thing that's coming to mind, of course, since I just played 46, is the Michigan Southern and the Grand Trunk, right? If I can start the Grand Trunk, but someone else has the Michigan Southern, like, should I? I feel like taking the Grand Trunk in that case is like, okay, well, I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot, because I'm gonna take this company that normally I want some help with the Michigan Southern, but the other person who has it isn't gonna do what I want. So now I'm in a bad position, and they're in a bad position. So should I just let them have the good combo and go for my own good combo?
Yeah, I feel like that's so title dependent and also experience dependent, because somebody could know what to do with the Grand Trunk without the Michigan Southern, and somebody else might not. And maybe there isn't something you can do with it without. Maybe you need to have the Michigan Southern. I don't know. I haven't played it enough.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that it would be title dependent on whether or not you want to do that, because maybe you're shooting yourself in the foot, but you're shooting them in the face.
Yeah, I guess. It depends on who you're shooting in the face. I mean, there's other privates that work with that, too. I think the Steamboat has a thing in the area, and the mountain blasting, tunnel blasting works well, because you can build some of the bridges into, like, the offboards right by where Grand Trunk starts.
I do think there is something, like, 24 is a little bit different, too, because there's not private powers or anything like that. It's just locations are...
Right.
You can build track faster because you're building track that is good for both of your companies, your mine, your coal mine, and your pre-state or something like that. So in our game, I started the blue coal mine, and then I started the number one purple pre-state. and
the blue coal mine,
the green coal mine.
Oh, the green one, right down in the south.
Yep. And the number one purple pre-state. And I was shocked when it came back to me, and the number two pre-state, purple pre-state, was still
available. Still available, yeah, that's pretty good.
Because that allowed me to have three companies working really well together. I didn't have to loot anything by the end. But I was able to just spend my entire game just running my companies well and not have to, basically living in my own little bubble.
Right, but there always needs to be somebody in that scenario, I think, that is willing to not get what they want in order to take whatever you want away from you.
Right.
And that, I'm always conflicted with that. Like, taking, you know, what is the value of, the relative value of me taking a chunk of your purple company versus...
Well, some of it's fun, for the fun of it, too. Like, in 24 specifically, I think that there's a fun aspect of timing when you want to loot the miner.
Yes.
Because you know it's about to form, and you're going to leave that with somebody.
I managed to do that to Len on our play, and it did feel pretty good.
And there's also, like, the fact that you could also go the other way and just start buying shares of it.
And then steal it from
them. Steal it from them.
Yes.
So there's a few options. It's not like you're taking something that's going to be dead to you.
Right. It's hard to steal it, but it's not impossible.
Yeah.
24 is a cool game. I want to play it again.
Yeah.
And what was your play time? It was in the 4-hour range, right?
Yeah, it was about 4 hours.
Sweet. Consistently 4 hours. That's a good. That's like my home base. You know, if you can do it in four, that's like.
Yeah, and ours so many also of them. A little bit slow too because we forgot to export for the first like two sets of ORs.
Yes, right. So, good game so far. We got we're in our hotel room here, and we're waking up at 8 a.m. We're gonna play 1844, which Johnny and I just kind of went over the rules, and I'm glad we did because there was some kind of funny stuff in there. It would have taken us a bit, and now we're gonna be faster. We've got a 5-player game of that. And a 5-player game of 1880 following that with the same group of people. Yeah. So that's going to be...
Yeah, and apparently, so Tony says that 80's sweet spot is 6 players. So if somebody comes by and wants to join us for 80, apparently that's...
Tony Fryer?
Yeah, yep. Apparently that's not a bad... I can't remember now if it was him or Chris. Somebody said it when I was recording with them, so... if somebody else wants to join in on that, we could end up with a 6-player game of 1880, which sounds like that could be interesting.
Spoiler, since we're publishing this tonight, Johnny guest hosted on Wheel Tap with Chris Whippan and Tony Fryer.
Yeah, I think Chris's goal is to get that out by like the 3rd or 4th.
He does it on the first Monday of every month.
Oh, first Monday, okay.
Yeah, so that will be coming out, in 7-ish days or something, because this is the 21st.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know when that's the first. Is it the 3rd or 4th? Okay.
Yeah. So that was a good time. I feel like I had something to say.
Did you? Six players of 1880?
Oh, yeah. We met... it reminded me because Jess is playing with us.
Yes.
And we met Edward from Heavy Cardboard.
Right.
Briefly. He wasn't here for the con, but he swung by to drop some stuff off for Jess or something like that.
So, yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Edward and Jess walked in. I was like, hey, I know those guys. and we've played with Jess over at Joe's before, but it was first time meeting Edward, and that was nice.
Yeah.
And, excited to play more train games tomorrow,
I
suppose.
I got an update on my tracking for 18DO Dorman. It got to New York yesterday, so it should be at my house next week.
Nice.
Yeah.
So... You've got the... I haven't seen the rules of that yet. You got them,
I have
right?
the document.
Yeah, all right, cool. Share that with me. I want to start to read over about beer and sweat.
Yeah. So what's the date of that one?
The 18th, I think. I'll double check that. We don't trust Johnny with calendars.
Yeah, so I don't know if we actually said why this is, but I recently changed jobs. I work at the same company that Eric works at now, and I work a weekend shift... And between working a weekend shift, which confuses me already now with like what day it is of the week, because now I'm off 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, but our company also has a calendar that starts on Saturday, like our work
week. It's a fiscal calendar.
Yeah, but our work week starts on Saturday. So I've never worked for a company whose work week starts on Saturday, so that's weird to me. So whenever I'm looking at a calendar... I think Saturday is Sunday, so my days are all shifted by a day. So I'm looking at Wednesday, but it's really Tuesday.
Yeah, Johnny
cannot get dates right anymore.
Consistently, like, been very strange with calendars. We're making plans, and he's like, "What? What day?" Yes, so it's March 18th, is the scheduled plan, the planned streaming date for 18 Dio, which is, we talked about it on a previous episode, but it is Wolfram Yannick of Marflow Games, and that's going to Kickstarter, and this is going to be streamed with us before the Kickstarter goes out, so you can see the game before they launch that, and then it's going to be produced by Fox in the Box, who does like 18CZ and 1824. So that's going to be pretty sweet. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and there's multiple variants with it, so we're very likely to do another
more than one stream
after the Kickstarter launches as well.
Yeah. And do you know when the Kickstarter goes?
Spring.
Sometime in the spring.
Yeah. They're still working out all the details, so they don't actually know exactly what date.
Yeah. Is the game in its final form, or do we have like a playtest-ish copy?
I think, so, the variant we're playing, I think, is in its final form, barring some, like, editing, but not, there won't be, like,
yeah, any it's like type
changes. Yeah.
Type,
but there's a couple of variants that are going to be in the game that aren't completed yet.
Okay.
So I think, like, the two-player variant and some other variant are not complete yet.
Cool. Is that all the train stuff we got?
I think so. You don't have a fact for us, do you?
No, I actually was looking at the new book from the library that I got and was like, should I bring that in case we record? But I was like, it's a bonus episode. I don't need a train fact. I also figured that like at some point I could go down, you know, and just ask the room down there and be like, someone tell me a train fact, and they'd hop in. Eric, that was another thing, is that we get to play at Joe R's house again this past Thursday. And I got to play 1834 by Tom Lehman. Lehman?
I always said Lehman, but I don't really know, actually.
I don't know either. It's L-E-H. Anyway, he did 1846, Race for the Galaxy. And 1834, not to be confused with the winsome title of 1834, is his, like, long-standing... It's actually the predecessor of 1846. He designed it first. And then he was like, I'm going to design a simpler game. It's based on similar mechanics, some of them, like the issuing of shares and stuff. That's similar. But, yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about the specifics of it, but I did reach out to Tom and say, like, hey, you know, I want to help playtest this. If I know it's not high on your priority list because 18XX doesn't make a lot of money compared to things like Race for the Galaxy, I'm sure. But he reached back and said, responded. I reached out, he reached back, we reached it and high-fived in the middle. No, he responded and said, actually, the game's, you know, an updated version is going out to playtesters next month, so it's getting some love from Tom, and I enjoyed it very much, so I hope that gets published.
I wonder if that's going to be the new GMT announcement.
That would be so cool. That would
be awesome. It sounds like it's still got some development, but I don't know how far, like, developed the GMT P500 games are when they're announced. Like, could they still be in development?
I think they're pretty...
Are they done, usually?
Pretty well done, I think. But okay. I could be wrong about that.
So it's probably not that,
well,
if that's the case.
So they've said... GMT just dropped their latest newsletter today, and it is the same blurb in there that it has been about a new 18XX will be added to the P500 within the next 6 months. The rough estimate of a plan. And 1848 is okay. Still in the art department. Right. So that's...
I didn't realize it was within the next 6 months. I thought it was, like, coming up soon.
Yeah, sometime in the next 6 months, they're going to put something on there. So I could see that potentially being the case, although I don't know. Yeah, obviously, he's worked with them before, 46, right? But it's a more complicated, cool, neater version of... I don't know if it's a neater version of 46, but it's set in New England. Like, real New England.
Actually New England.
Yeah, 18 New England. Sorry, Scott, if you're listening. It's not New England. That's Connecticut,
Mass. You can tell
Scott's
not from New England.
Yeah. And then 1834 is, like, it's got Nashua, which is, you know, like, local to us.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah. And it is New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and, you know, does it get down? Yeah, it gets down to Connecticut. A little sliver of New York is in there, but
I heard you're waiting on the dairy expansion.
Yeah,
that turns dairy into
a
dit.
My hometown, not my hometown, but my town is not even a dit. It's like, come on, you make a 10 box, please. There's train tracks in there. There's a Boston and Maine locomotive. I think I don't know if it's a locomotive. There's a car on the rail trails like right that I drive by every day to Windham. Work.
Wait, is it in Windham or Derry?
It's in Windham.
Okay.
Windham Junction was like their train spot.
So is Windham on the map?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Probably not. Yeah, that would make more sense.
That would make more sense.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of rambling. You played there as well,
yeah,
right?
So I played 1849. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I've wanted to play that one for a while
yeah.
now.
Yeah, me too.
Because then you print and played it.
I own...
We were supposed to stream it as our first 18XX stream.
For the Board Game Informant.
Yeah.
And then
we had... Somebody thought a 6 was a 9, a 9 was a 6, and brought 46.
Yeah, they were like, oh, I thought we were talking about 1846. So I was like, 1849, it's an upside down 9, 6. Damn it.
Yeah. So I wanted to play that one for a while, and it was... at least as good as I expected it to be, if not better. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure we'll do it. More of a talk on it when we both played it.
I still haven't played it.
I want to get a copy. I know you already have a copy.
Yeah, I have.
I'm a collector. You know that.
Right.
So
the map could use some. I think I'll probably like print and laminate a map instead of the one that I double. I have a double sided map of 61 and 49 that I print and played.
Can you do that onto your Pandemic Legacy?
Yes, map? it's on back on both sides of the retired Pandemic Legacy map after we finished that game, and it was like it worked out with the size, but it doesn't unfold all the way nicely because I didn't really realize how boards fold and like mechanically have to
put
have
slack
space
in like the seams.
Right.
Yeah.
And.
That's a tough one because you want to put enough so it folds, but you also don't want it to get all like wrinkled and stuff in the.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is, but I've come around a lot on laminated boards and just like 18SY and 91 that I did for you, right? You just cut it into its component parts, even if it's like a bunch of 8.5 by 11 sheets, put them together, put Scotch tape on the back, and fold it. And it's like perfect and beautiful.
I mean, I would rather have more 8.5 by 11s because they fit better
into
smaller
a box.
Boxes.
Yeah.
Like an 11 by 17 box is huge.
Yeah, we are rambling the hell out of this. It's great. It's like total con. Let's talk about our print and play box preferences.
That's good. That's why people listen to us. They want to hear us ramble.
I guess.
Yeah. We'll have no viewers on this episode.
Yeah. Well, that's impossible.
Because nobody can watch us
talk. Yeah, they can't watch us talk. they can listen, though. I don't know. There's been some cohesion, I feel like, between a lot of the podcasters lately and content producers for 18XX stuff. Chris Whippan is trying to corral all the podcasters to, talk about stuff and communicate.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, and speaking of rambling, I'll just throw out there that we're going to be starting to do a couple of episodes focused on a little bit more of, okay, I'm a beginner, I've played a few games, maybe a couple dozen games, and I want to start to elevate how I think about these games, and we're going to talk about some things that we've started to think more about and how we think it might help people get to the next level.
Yeah, so if you have any suggestions for things that you... think are worth mentioning in that arena. We've already asked questions about similar things like first order knowledge and second order of knowledge in our early episodes. But if you have that kind of stuff, send it to boardgameinformant@gmail.com or tweet it at us at bginformant. And yeah, I also want to do like a beginner, like you've heard of 18XX episode for to point new, interested prospective players at in the future.
Yeah.
And like then all the people the who... Huh?
The hook. We'll give them the pitch.
Yeah, that's the hook. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things like that out there. But, yeah. We'll do our own spin on it.
All right. I think we're going to get to bed.
Yeah.
It's tired. We're tired.
It is tired.
it's
tired and we're late.
And if you want to support the show, patreon.com/meekinformant.
That's
Thanks for listening and viewing.
Good night, run trains, pay your divs.
Good night.